Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Welcome back to the Exit 68 podcast. We have, obviously it's a big week, so we're going to have a lot of shows here. In the absolute depths of March Madness, UConn coming off a 30-point ass-kicking of San Diego State. Now on to the Elite Eight against an extremely talented Illinois team. We have the number one offense in the country versus the number two offense in the country. UConn, who kind of wins with their variety of different players, variety of ways. Illinois wins behind Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins, and a bunch of points. And that's kind of how it's looked for them every single game. Joining us today, very special guest, Doug, as well as Matt. Doug was in the garden with me last night, watching the dismantling of the Aztecs, as well as the first half of an extremely ugly Illinois-Iowa State game. Could not be happier to be here, breaking down a very exciting Elite Eight matchup. Based on ticket prices, it's going to be about $450 just to even get in the garden tomorrow to watch these two just juggernaut offenses face off against each other. I would say it's definitely going to be the hardest challenge that the Huskies have faced so far. Very excited to break it down, these two talented teams in a very exciting matchup in Boston. Matt, Doug, thanks for joining me on this late night. We're both a bit under the weather, but this is March, man, and we got to keep going. How are we feeling?
It's always a slog in the first couple rounds of the tournament, but as you said, it's a slog and we got to keep going. Wonderful victory last night. I didn't expect a 30 piece, and I don't think anybody did. But we'll take it, obviously, nonetheless. What I will say, and I'm curious to hear, Doug, your perspective, I'm kind of happy that Illinois won last night. I thought Iowa State would probably give us more of a game than not Illinois would. So
I can't wait to hear Doug's answer.
Yeah, curious to hear what Doug.
So going into the game, I was in the same boat. I was like, I think I'd rather play Illinois. Like, they don't play defense. If you're not going to guard UConn, you're going to lose. And then I watched the first half, and I was like, how is this team in the Sweet 16? watching them run offense was tough. I mean, their point guard, like Lipsy or Lipson, whatever his name is, he's great on ball defender, but I just. He doesn't look like a Division I point guard. He didn't even play that bad last night, but just the way he's like moves with the ball, he's not a threat in pick and roll. I don't know.
He's not a contemporary point guard.
He's not a contemporary point guard.
And Iowa State is also not a contemporary team. So, Doug, to your point though, I agree. Like, I think it's easy to look at the next opponent and say, I'd much rather not play Illinois after the game they had yesterday or last night. But every game is a new game in this tournament. So I'm not scared is kind of where I'm going with that.
Well, let's break right into it then, Matt. Cause I think there's a couple reasons to be scared, a couple reasons not to be scared. I'm going to rely on you, Doug, obviously. For those that don't know, Doug is a very high-level basketball fan, basketball connoisseur. Illinois here, obviously led by an extremely talented and dynamic guard, Terrence Shannon. He's got great size. He's an extremely good athlete for the position. The kind of dude who you let him in the open floor, you give him some space, he's going to be by you. You cannot cover him one-on-one with space. You cannot cover him one-on-one in a fast break. He's going to get an end one. He's going to finish out the bucket. Did I mention he's also very shooting extremely well right now. He's probably been the best player in the country for the last 3 weeks. Just an extremely dangerous scoring threat, playing with a lot of energy and a big frame, who's also a great athlete. It's going to take an army to slow him down. He is just an absolute weapon out there. And kind of paired with him is Coleman Hawkins, 6'10", kind of stretch four, point kind of forward player. Nice touch, really good ball handling, really nice finishing around the basket. Long frame, also a really good athlete, and that kind of forms the core of their team. They have a couple other guys kind of around them who can hit some threes, who can make some things happen on offense. The biggest detriment to their team really is lack of a true center, lack of size at times. I see Klingon really being just a weapon for us just with his sheer size, especially on the offensive end.
I thought they had a guy who's 7 feet though.
No, they don't.
Am I Colvin wrong
Hawkins
on that?
Is the tallest player.
They have Danger. He comes off the bench.
And he's about 6'9", 270.
He's a big boy. Yeah.
So Doug, what did I miss? What are you thinking here? How do you see this one playing out? X's and O's wise.
I think off the bat, my initial reaction is always to be like, oh, Colvin Hawkins is a tough matchup for Klingon. He plays in the perimeter a lot. He's good off the dribble for a center. I mean, he's not really a center, but that's where he starts. But I think it's a way worse matchup for him having to guard Klingon in the post. Mm-hmm. So that'll be tough. And then obviously Terrence Shannon, who's scored, 30 in his 7 of his last 8 games or something.
Yeah.
I do trust our guards to not allow those pick six plays. I think he had 3 or 4 last night where just he's in the passing lane and gets an open dunk. If we can limit those, and I mean, Iowa State's game plan seemed to be to let him take threes, and he hit a few last night, but I think he's like 30, 32% on the year. So I think we got to live with that. I mean, you can kind of see with the way he shoots the ball that he's not like a consistent 3-point shooter, but obviously transition. And then the good news is he's not someone who's going to like pull up and hit a lot of threes. So Klingon playing drop coverage in the pick and roll against him will probably be a good strategy for us. I like that.
Yep.
I don't know too much about their other guys, Damask, and I think he's probably like their third leading scorer.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's at 16 a game. Hawkins actually only at 12 a game. The only other thing I would point out, Matt, before you jump in here is Danger. We talked about 6'9", 270, absolute brick shit house. He comes off the bench for them right now. He's really their big man. They really kind of play five out without him. When they put him in there, they kind of just let him cause havoc. I think we'll be able to, hopefully, with Klingon's size, really neutralize any offensive rebounding he brings to the table. But with that low center of gravity and Klingon's high hips, that's always, can be an issue for him to get post position. And hopefully not, but a guy like that gets some offensive boards, can draw some fouls inside if Klingon gets sloppy. The only kid I really wanted to mention was this kid, Luke Good. He's shooting 39% from three right now. I watched a bunch of Illinois. This kid just does not miss. He is just one of the whitest white boys that you've ever seen. 6'7" from Fort Wayne, Indiana. All he does is shoot threes. You cannot leave this kid open because he will make you pay. Matt, watching Illinois last night and kind of coming up here. Obviously, we know the Huskies. What are your thoughts heading into the game here?
Yeah, I think Doug covered a lot of it, but I think there's this whole theme about Castle locking down Terrence Shannon, and I think normally I don't buy into that, but I think actually for tomorrow's game, in tomorrow's purpose, like I'm going to lean into that. I think you hope they're both like, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, Shannon's about 6'4", I think. 6'5". He's listed at
6'6". I think
6'6".
He's a little bit... what's he listed at?
6'6", 225.
Yeah, I think he's kind of Castle size. I'm a big, like, let the guy get the points and then shut everybody else down. But for tomorrow's purpose, I actually kind of hope that Castle brings it and is able to shut down Shannon. And then guy like... Who's the white kid, Luke Good, that you just said? I hope you let him get his. Like, that's how I see this game going. Good gets his, Shannon doesn't. And then that's how we kind of get out of the Elite Eight. Whereas most times I say, let the best player get their points and, shut everybody else down. I don't like it. Shut down Shannon tomorrow. Let the white boys that you just said, like, kind of get theirs, but survive in advance. That's how I see it going tomorrow.
Doug, I got just one more kind of ball-specific question for you. Looking at this lineup, Illinois is a unique team in the sense that I think they're one of the only teams we'll play that really has big guards to match up, with our big guards. That combined with the fact that their center is extremely athletic, only 6'10". This really seems like a game where they're going to be able to switch on everything.
Only 6'10".
But I'm saying it's not like we have some big lumbering center here. It's a very athletic 6'10 guy.
Yeah.
I think they're going to switch everything, especially with all of our ball screen actions. You know, what can we do to kind of neutralize that and combat that? And what will we look early on, you know, if they go to that early switching on everything?
I mean, I think it's probably a clinging game, like we were saying. Especially if they're switching, like, they don't have a lot of height in the floor to begin with. Hopkins, yeah. Like you said, he's listed 6'10", probably more like Caravan size, 6'8", 6'9". He's lanky, but Klingon has 4 or 5 inches and 30, 40 pounds on him. So if they are going to switch, I think you just give the ball to Donnie. Maybe a repeat of that first half against Marquette, where he just – in the Big East Championship, where he was just going off.
Also, side note, Marquette's not really repping right now.
It's yeah. Okay. There's still
they're
some
on
time.
A little run, but I know this isn't looking good.
Kind of talking and then, about – I'm sorry.
I was going to say Danger, I don't know how many minutes he plays. I think it's usually between 10 and 20, but
– He's like a Samson guy.
He's at 11 right now.
11, yeah. So if he – like if his minutes are matched up with Samson's, that is problematic, I think, because that's just going to be –
He's going to shove him in the locker.
Yeah. I mean, we know how Samson has been on the boards, and I think he's actively trying harder to rebound because he's gotten flack for it, but it's still it's a work in progress out there for him.
No, we still had one or two possessions last game where we're just screaming as the other team gets two offensive rebounds. Like, hey, Samson, can you just grab the fucking ball, dude? Like, we love you. You bring a lot to this team. You know, you're hard hedging. You know, the activity, the energy, the shot blocking, the oops, but come on, buddy. We're just going to need you to pull down a couple of boards. I don't care. He's pushing you.
It's so bad how we just, even for the team, I think, what was the interview I was watching? I think it was Cam's interview. Cam's gotten a lot of play in the last round from a media perspective. And he was talking there, I think Fonta asked him, he was like, how much does Klingon mean to you guys on the court? And it inevitably was just kind of a slight at Samson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, it's just like unbelievable when he's on the floor and like, you don't want Samson. Like, I love Samson, but he's just not Donnie.
Yeah, obviously. Donovan, I mean, Hurley said it the other day after the Marquette game. He's one of the most impactful players after the Marquette game. Whatever the second round game is, can't even fucking remember. He's one of the most impactful players in the country. And he did not play like it last game. He obviously had a bit of a tough one, but that's okay. We're going to stick right here with him. He's an amazing player. And in a matchup like this, we're really going to need Donnie's best. Because I'm with you, Doug. I think early and often, throw it into him. Make him make that decision. You're gonna play him one-on-one and let him eat? Or you're going to double down? And, you know, then Donnie's going to start finding people. Okay, I'm definitely nervous. I'm a lot more nervous than San Diego. This Illinois team has got some serious horses. I expect, I think an 82-76 UConn win. A lot of threes on both sides. Hopefully Donnie, you know, puts up a big game. How are we feeling, boys? Any last thoughts before we head off into the sunset here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think, like we saw last night with Illinois, they came out hot. Like, Terrence Shannon hit 2 or 3 threes in the first 10 minutes. If he's missing those and we're dumping the ball in, Hawkins gets a foul or two, like, I think this could – I think our solution is not let them start hot, because they proved they can sustain it. Obviously, Iowa State mucked up the game in the second half, kind of did what they wanted a little bit more last night, but they're the – Illinois is the number one offensive team in the country for a reason. So I think if you start them slow, like, they're going to go on a run at some point. Make it a slow start, dump it into Donnie, make them cover him with two guys. I think we just have too much size for them and shooting, but they've got good players.
And so. I think it's scary. It's like playing the Dolphins in football, or, you know, the old kind of Chiefs. Yeah, you know, you can be up 15 with 10 minutes left, and this team can just, you know, there's so much talent out there. They can just come back kind of in a second. It's different than playing a team that can really lock you down on defense but can't score. Just knowing that they have that juice, you know, I'm going to be on edge all night. I don't care what the score is, but could not be more excited to watch. Matt, Any closing thoughts of wisdom here?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more confident with this matchup. I just think Illinois plays a lot of one-on-one ball, and I think that feeds into what we're trying to achieve is the wrong word, but like what we're trying to invite. I mean, Doug, what do you think? The only way we lose in this tournament, this is, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but the only way we lose in this tournament, I think, is if Donovan gets two fouls very early and he goes out.
Yeah. Donnie foul trouble, missing shots. Maybe Castle foul trouble, but
Donnie missed shots last night. I didn't think he really had a great.
The combination of Donnie and foul trouble and other people missing shots.
There has to be a convolution of things that go wrong for us to basically lose, and that is possible.
Yeah,
but I like this matchup. I'll die on the vine. I like this more than Iowa State.
Great, I'm excited to watch. I think the Garden is going to be a lot closer to 50-50 in terms of fans than I originally
thought. There were a lot of Illinois fans for that second game. Surprising amount. A lot of them in the upper deck.
I was very surprised.
Are both of you guys going tomorrow?
The tickets are out of control.
Planning on it. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the tickets.
Dude, the tickets, yeah. They were insane in Brooklyn. I can only imagine what they are for a second round.
So we got in for $185 last night. Currently, the cheapest ticket to get in is $380.
Dude. Dude, that's so much money. Somebody needs to boy up D'Amelio. Just, you know, free tickets or just have him just be comfortable buying this. Anyways, if you guys do go, bring it. It sounded like it was a UConn fan base last night, but I don't know how tomorrow's going to go.
Yeah. No, couldn't be more excited. Why you love this sport. We're in one of the best stretches of UConn basketball in the history of the program, and I'm going to soak up at every second of it. Thank you guys for joining me today, and go Skis.
Go Skis.